easy.
What do you know of these horsemen, Aragorn? He said. Do we sit here waiting for sudden death?
I've been among them, answered Aragorn. They are proud and willful, but they are true-hearted, generous in thought and deed,
bold but not cruel, wise but unlearned, writing no books but singing many songs after the manner of the children of men before the dark years. But I don't know what has happened here of late, nor in what mind the Rohirrim may now be between the traitor Saruman and the threat of Sauron. They have long been the friends of the people of Gondor, though they are not akin to them. It was in forgotten years long ago that Eol the Young brought them out of the north, and their kinship is rather with the Bardings of Dale, and with the Beornings of the Wood, among whom may still be seen many men tall and fair, as are the riders of Rohan. At least, they'll not love the Orcs.
But Gandalf spoke of a rumour that they paid tribute to Mordor, said Gimli.
I believe it no more than did Boromir, answered Aragorn.
You will soon learn the truth, said Legolas. Already they approach.
At length even Gimli could hear the distant beat of galloping hoofs. The horsemen, following the trail, had turned from the river and were drawing near the downs. They were riding like the wind. Now the cries of clear, strong voices came ringing over the fields. Suddenly they swept up with a noise like thunder, and the foremost horsemen swerved, passing by the foot of the hill and leading the host back southward along the western skirts of the downs. After him they rode, a long line of mail-clad men, swift, shining, fell and fair to look upon. Their horses were of great stature, strong and clean-limbed. Their grey coats glistened, their long tails flowed in the wind, their manes were braided on their proud necks. The men that rode them matched them well, tall and long-limbed. Their hair, flaxen pale, flowed under their light helms and streamed in long braids behind them. Their faces were stern and keen. In their hands were tall spears of ash. Painted shields were slung at their backs. Long swords were at their belts. Their burnished skirts of mail hung down upon their knees. In pairs they galloped by, and though every now and then one rose in his stirrups and gazed ahead and to either side, they appeared not to perceive the three strangers sitting silently and watching them. The host had almost passed, when suddenly Aragorn stood up and called in a loud voice, "What news from the north, riders of Rohan?" With astonishing speed and skill they checked their steeds, wheeled, and came charging round. Soon the three companions found themselves in a ring of horsemen moving in a running circle, up the hill slope behind them and down, round and round them, and drawing ever inwards. Aragorn stood silent, and the other two sat without moving, wondering what way things would turn. Without a word or cry, suddenly the riders halted. A thicket of spears were pointed toward the strangers, and some of the horsemen had bows in hand, and their arrows were already fitted to the string. Then one rode forward, a tall man, taller than all the rest. From his helm as a crest a white horse tail flowed. He advanced until the point of his spear was within a foot of Aragorn's breast. Aragorn did not stir.
"Who are you, and what are you doing in this land?" said the rider, using the common speech of the West in manner and tone like the speech of Boromir, man of Gondor. "I am called Strider," answered Aragorn. "I came out of the north. I am hunting orcs."
The rider leapt from his horse, giving his spear to another who rode up and dismounted at his side. He drew his sword and stood face to face with Aragorn, surveying him keenly and not without wonder. At length he spoke again.
"At first I thought that you yourselves were orcs," he said, "but now I see that it's not so. Indeed, you know little of orcs, if you go hunting them in this fashion. They are swift and well-armed, and they were many. You would have changed from hunters to prey, if ever you had overtaken them,
but there's something strange about you, Strider." He bent his clear, bright eyes again upon the ranger. "That is no name for a man that you give. And strange, too, is your raiment. Have you sprung out of the grass? How did you escape our sight? Are you elvish folk?" "No," said Aragorn. "One only of us is an elf, Legolas, from the woodland realm in distant Mirkwood. But we have passed through Lothlorien, and the gifts and favour of the lady go with us." The rider looked at them with renewed wonder, but his eyes hardened. "Then there is a lady in the Golden Woods, as old tales tell," he said. "Few escape her nets, they say. These are strange days. But if you have her favour, then you also are net-weavers and sorcerers, maybe." He turned a cold glance suddenly upon Legolas and Gimli. "Why do you not speak, silent ones?" he demanded. Gimli rose and planted his feet firmly apart. His hand gripped the handle of his axe, and his dark eyes flashed.
"Give me your name, horse master, and I will give you mine and more besides," he said.
"As for that," said the rider, staring down at the dwarf, "the stranger should declare himself first."
"Yet I am named Éomer, son of Éomund, and am called the third marshal of Riddermark." "Then, Éomer, son of Éomund, third marshal of Riddermark, let Gimli the dwarf Gloin's son warn you against foolish words. You speak evil of that which is fair beyond the reach of your thought, and only little wit can excuse you."
Éomer's eyes blazed, and the men of Rohan murmured angrily, and closed in, advancing their spears.
"I would cut off your head, beard and all, Master Dwarf, if it stood but a little higher from the ground," said Éomer.
"He stands not alone," said Legolas, bending his bow and fitting an arrow, with hands that moved quicker than sight. "You would die before your stroke fell."
Éomer raised his sword, and things might have gone ill, but Aragorn sprang between them and raised his hand. "Your pardon, Éomer," he cried. "When you know more, you will understand why you have angered my companions."
"We intend no evil to Rohan, nor to any of its folk, neither to man nor to horse. Will you not hear our tale before you strike?"
"I will," said Éomer, lowering his blade. "But wanderers in the Riddermark would be wise to be less haughty in these days of doubt. First tell me your right name."
"First tell me whom you serve," said Aragorn. "Are you friend or foe of Sauron, the Dark Lord of Mordor?"
"I serve only the Lord of the Mark, Theoden, King of Thengol," answered Éomer. "We do not serve the power of the Black Land far away, but neither are we yet at open war with him. And if you are fleeing from him, then you had best leave this land. There is trouble now on all our borders, and we are threatened. But we desire only to be free, and to live as we have lived, keeping our own, and serving no foreign lord, good or evil. We welcome guests kindly in the better days, but in these times the unbidden stranger finds us swift and hard. Come, who are you? Whom do you serve? At whose command do you hunt orcs in our land?"
"I serve no man," said Aragorn, "but the servants of Sauron I pursue into whatever land they may go. There are few among mortal men who know more of orcs, and I do not hunt them in this fashion out of choice. The orcs whom we pursued took captive two of my friends.
In such need a man that has no horse will go on foot, and he will not ask for leave to follow the trail, nor will he count the heads of the enemy save with a sword. I am not weaponless."
Aragorn threw back his cloak. The elven sheath glittered as he grasped it, and the bright blade of Andúril shone like a sudden flame as he swept it out.
"Elendil," he cried, "I am Aragorn, son of Arathorn, and am called Elessar, the Elfstone, Dúnadan, the heir of Isildur, Elendil, son of Gondor. Here is the sword that was broken and is forged again. Will you aid me or thwart me? Choose swiftly."
Gimli and Legolas looked at their companion in amazement, for they had not seen him in this mood before. He seemed to have grown in stature while Éomer had shrunk, and in his living face they caught a brief vision of the power and majesty of the kings of stone. For a moment it seemed to the eye of Legolas that a white flame flickered on the brows of Aragorn like a shining crown. Éomer stepped back, and a look of awe was in his face. He cast down his proud eyes.
"These are indeed strange days," he muttered. "Dreams and legends spring to life out of the grass." "Tell me, Lord," he said, "what brings you here? And what was the meaning of the dark words? Long has Boromir, son of Denethor, been gone seeking an answer, and the horse that we lent him came back riderless. What doom do you bring out of the north?"
"The doom of choice," said Aragorn. "You may say this to Théoden, son of Thingol. Open war lies before him, with Sauron or against him. None may live now as they have lived, and few shall keep what they call their own. But of these great matters we will speak later. If chance allows, I will come myself to the king. Now I am in great need, and I ask for help, or at least for tidings. You heard that we are pursuing an orc host that carried off our friends. What can you tell us?"
"That you need not pursue them further," said Éomer. "The orcs are destroyed.
And our friends?"
"We found none but orcs."
"But that is strange indeed," said Aragorn. "Did you search the slain? Were there no bodies other than those of orc kind? They would be small, only children to your eyes, unshod but clad in grey."
"There were no dwarves nor children," said Éomer. "We counted all the slain and despoiled them, and then we piled the carcasses and burned them, as is our custom. The ashes are smoking still."
"We do not speak of dwarves or children," said Gimli. "Our friends were hobbits."
"Hobbits?" said Éomer. "And what may they be? It is a strange name."
"A strange name for a strange folk," said Gimli. "But these were very dear to us. It seems that you have heard in Rohan of the words that troubled Minas Tirith. They spoke of the halfling. These hobbits are halflings."
"Halflings!" laughed the rider that stood beside Éomer. "Halflings! But they are only a little people in old songs and children's tales out of the north. Do we walk in legends or on the green earth in the daylight?"
"A man may do both," said Aragorn. "For not we, but those who come after, will make the legends of our time. The green earth, say you? That is a mighty matter of legend, though you tread it under the light of day."
"Time is pressing," said the rider, not heeding Aragorn. "We must hasten south, Lord. Let us leave these wild folk to their fancies, or let us bind them and take them to the king."
"Peace, Eothine," said Éomer in his own tongue. "Leave me a while. Tell the Eorid to assemble on the path and make ready to ride to the Entwade." Muttering, Eothine retired and spoke to the others. Soon they drew off and left Éomer alone with the three companions.
"All that you say is strange, Aragorn," he said. "Yet you speak the truth that is plain. The men of the Mark do not lie, and therefore they are not easily deceived. But you have not told all. Will you not now speak more fully of your errand, so that I may judge what to do?"
"I set out from Imladris, as it is named in the rhyme, many weeks ago," answered Aragorn. "With me went Boromir of Minas Tirith. My errand was to go to that city with the son of Denethor, to aid his folk in their war against Sauron. But the company that I journeyed with had other business. Of that I cannot speak now. Gandalf the Grey was our leader."
"Gandalf!"
Éomer exclaimed.
"Gandalf Greyhame is known in the Mark. But his name, I warn you, is no longer a password to the king's favour. He has been a guest in the land many times in the memory of men, coming as he will after a season, or after many years.
He is ever the herald of strange events, a bringer of evil, some now say. Indeed, since his last coming in the summer, all things have gone amiss. At that time our trouble with Saruman began. Until then, we counted Saruman our friend, but Gandalf came then and warned us that sudden war was preparing in Isengard. He said that he himself had been a prisoner in Orthonk and had hardly escaped, and he begged for help. But Theoden would not listen to him, and he went away. Speak not the name of Gandalf loudly in Theoden's ears. He is wroth, for Gandalf took the horse that is called Shadowfax, the most precious of all the king's steeds, chief of the Maiaris, which only the Lord of the Mark may ride. For the sire of their race was the great horse of Eol, that knew the speech of men. 7 nights ago Shadowfax returned, but the king's anger is not less, for now the horse is wild, and will let no man handle him.
Then Shadowfax has found his way alone from the far north, said Aragorn, for it was there that he and Gandalf parted. But alas, Gandalf will ride no longer. He fell into darkness in the mines of Moria, and comes not again.
That is heavy tidings, said Irma, at least to me, and to many, though not to all, as you may find, if you come to the king.
It is tidings more grievous than any in this land can understand, though it might touch them sorely ere the year is much older, said Aragorn. But when the great fall, the less must lead. My part it has been to guide our company on the long road from Moria. Through Lorien we came, of which it were well that you should learn the truth ere you speak of it again, and thence down the leagues of the great river to the falls of Rauros. There Boromir was slain by the same orcs whom you destroyed.
Your news is all of woe, cried Éomer in dismay.
Great harm is this death to Minas Tirith and to us all. That was a worthy man. All spoke his praise. He came seldom to the mark, for he was ever in the wars on the east borders. But I've seen him. More like to the swift sons of Eol than to the grave men of Gondor he seemed to me, and likely to prove a great captain of his people when his time came. But we've had no word of this grief out of Gondor. When did he fall?
It is now the 4th day since he was slain, answered Aragorn, and since the evening of that day we've journeyed from the shadow of Tol Brandir.
On foot? Cried Éomer.
Yes, even as you see us. Wide wonder came into Éomer's eyes.
Strider is too poor a name, son of Arathorn, he said. Wingfoot I name you. This deed of 3 friends shall be sung in many a hall.
40 leagues and 5 you have measured, ere the 4th day is ended. Hardy is the race of Elendil. But now, lord, what would you have me do? I must return in haste to Theoden. I spoke warily before my men. It's true that we're not yet at open war with the Black Land, and there are some, close to the king's ear, that speak craven counsels. But war is coming. We shall not forsake our old alliance with Gondor, and while they fight we shall aid them. So say I, and all who hold with me. The East Mark is my charge, the ward of the 3rd Marshal, and I've removed all our herds and herdfolk, withdrawing them beyond Entwash, and leaving none here but guards and swift scouts.
Then you don't pay tribute to Sauron?
Said Gimli.
We do not, and we never have, said Éomer, with a flash of his eyes, though it comes to my ears that that lie has been told. Some years ago the Lord of the Black Land wished to purchase horses of us at great price, but we refused him, for he puts beasts to evil use.
Then he sent plundering orcs, and they carry off what they can, choosing always the black horses. Few of these are now left. For that reason our feud with the orcs is bitter. But at this time our chief concern is with Saruman. He's claimed lordship over all this land, and there has been war between us for many months. He has taken orcs into his service, and wolf riders, and evil men,
and he has closed the gap against us, so that we are likely to be beset